أبو ساب السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Well, take us through Israel's reaction to new COVID developments.
Yes, so with talk about this new variant, already on Thursday, the Israeli government banned all arrivals from several African countries, including South Africa. And over the weekend, it's took it a step further, and it's now banned all foreigners from entering the country for a period of at least 2 weeks. And this obviously comes on the back of what we've spoken about not too long ago, the country opening itself up to international travel just in the beginning of November. And this is going to be putting pressure not only on foreign travelers, but also on Israelis, and at that, vaccinated Israelis as well, who, if they enter the country in the wake of these new developments, they will have to, in addition to taking the usual COVID test, they would have to quarantine for 72 hours, and thereafter take another COVID test after they arrive before they'd be able to, you know, once again integrate into society. What is interesting is that among the two people who have are said to have been confirmed to be carrying this particular variant, as identified in the Israeli state, one of those has been a woman who reportedly came from South Africa recently, but she, according to Israeli media reports, had been already vaccinated three times, meaning she's taken the two doses of the vaccine as well as the booster. And still, according to this report, she was found to be carrying this particular variant of the COVID virus. It's interesting as well that Israel is once again going into high alert as a result of this. They are reintroducing a tracking program where people who are said to have been in contact with such people will be tracked through mobile applications by the Shin Bet, that's the internal security agency. And this again is leading to a big debate about privacy and human rights violations. And there's also been an impact on South Africans who came to the state of Israel, Jewish South Africans came to the state of Israel just while these new measures were being announced. And some of them, ironically, had come to pay their respects to the family of the Israeli reservist from South Africa, Eliyahu David Kay, who was killed in Jerusalem last week. So apparently before they left, there were no restrictions. While they were in the air, these restrictions were announced. And as a result, when they landed in the state of Israel, they were forced to leave immediately we're told they could not enter the state because of these new restrictions, but just this despite the purpose of their visit. And one of those South Africans who came for this purpose bemoaned this decision, saying that we were treated like criminals by the Israeli state. In response to all of this, you have the chief rabbi of South Africa, Warren Goldstein, saying that the Israeli government must allow all Jews entry into Israel, regardless of the new restrictions. All he requires, all he's asking for, is that the Israeli government accepts all Jews based on a negative PCR test. And he said that a total closure of Israel's borders, including to non-Israeli Jews, signals to Jewish communities that they are, from Israel's perspective, second-class Jews.
Now, a major soil and water deal between Israel, Jordan, and the UAE.
This particular project is being dubbed the biggest regional cooperation project ever reached between Israel and its neighbors. According to this agreement, what will happen is it's going to be funded by the Emirates. a major solar plant will be established in Jordan, which will provide electricity for Israel, additional electricity for Israel. And in exchange for that, Jordan will purchase water from an Israeli site, which is going to be constructed along the Mediterranean coast. That will be a desalination plant. It's seen as the latest byproduct of the Abraham Accords, the normalization deals between the UAE and Israel. And it comes apparently after a lot of secret discussions between the two countries, and it was presided over as well by John Kerry of the United States of America. Palestinian experts commenting on this particular deal, saying that, you know, indirectly, Jordan is now going to be providing electricity for illegal Israeli settlements. And it's proving that the Jordanian regime is increasingly serving Israeli interests, because this just comes on the back of another recent agreement where Jordan signed to double the amount of water that Israel would supply it. And also people saying that while this is being couched in language of, you know, to avert climate change, it's essentially a political deal. It's essentially part of the normalization project, and it's essentially also showing that the United Arab Emirates is increasingly becoming a broker for Israel and Israeli financial interests. And there's also some sort of confusion about this on the public level. The Jordanians saying that this is not an agreement but a declaration of intent, whereas on the other hand, the Israelis and the UAE are saying this is an agreement and they're celebrating it as an agreement. It's already been rejected by the Jordanian street. Many people came out in protest on Friday saying that this agreement is being rejected, and it's going to be increasingly used as normalization, and they fear that Israel will not keep its word. It will be detrimental to Jordan, and it will also force Jordanians to be much more dependent on the state of Israel.
And then finally, developments at Al-Aqsa and Ibrahimi Masjid.
So we've got, firstly, an Israeli minister saying that in the wake of the last armed attack in Al-Quds, that Israel should now once again consider reinstalling metal detectors at the gates of Masjid Al-Aqsa. The Israeli Minister for Communication saying that Israel must make sure that no armed people enter Jerusalem, and that the matter of metal detectors must be re-examined. Israelis had given up on this in the past, he said, but it's impossible to give it up in the future. And we obviously know the reaction to metal detectors the last time it was introduced. As further development, the Israeli parliament, the Knesset, saying that it's issued a recommendation to the Israeli Education Ministry that the history of the temple and the Zionist narrative of Masjid al-Aqsa should be included much more strongly in the Israeli educational curriculum. And as part of that, school children in the state of Israel should be made to undertake field trips or excursions to the old city of Jerusalem as well as Masjid al-Aqsa. And that obviously has been met with concern from Palestinians. At the same time, the Israeli president, Isaac Herzog, conducted a provocative visit to the Ibrahimi Masjid just yesterday. As a result of that visit, the masjid was closed and Palestinians were prevented from entering the masjid. He went further to light at the masjid the first candle of the Jewish Hanukkah holiday, and a prominent candle was placed at the masjid, and it was lit in the presence of the president as well as senior leaders and members of the Israeli Knesset.
All right, so shukran as always for the update.
Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This week's Palestine Report with Hafiz Ibrahim Musa. Just gone 7:32.